The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
This being the Easter bank holiday weekend, we thought, you know, what do you do when you run out of chocolate? Well, you go into a catatonic state in front of the box and watch some movies. And this caused us to cast our mind back to the movies that were once banned, often mainly for religious reasons. So we thought we would drag in Screen Time's John Fardy to look at the great banned movies of our times. And given that it's Easter, we thought we'd start with one of the really quasi-religious ones, The Life of Brian.
Yes, indeed. Which began, it was almost like a joke. Eric Idle casually said, they said to him, what's next? This was like 1969, 1970. And he had this title, Jesus Christ, Lust for Glory. And it was kind of this joke that developed into this, you know, it's satirical, but it does have deep meaning in it, in a way. It even though it's a very funny film.
The Life of Brian?
Well, it's all about groupthink and not getting too caught up in what society is telling you to do. So there is a serious dimension to it, as well as being a very hilarious movie. And it still kind of stands the test of time and has one of the strangest endings of all time. And at the time, considered incredibly blasphemous, where you have someone, you know, being crucified and they start singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, you know.
Now this, the Monty Python team, of course, always said that this had nothing to do, nor was it meant to be a satire on Christ, though he does make a brief appearance in the film.
Yeah.
Famously, in a discussion hosted by Tim Rice, they defended their own take on it.
Christ is played by an actor, Ken Colley. He speaks the words from the Sermon on the Mount. He's treated absolutely respectfully. The camera then pans away. We go to right to the back of the crowd to someone who shouts, speak up, because they cannot hear him. Now, I mean, if that utterly, undermines one's faith in Christ,
no,
then I think your faith cannot undermine that strong.
I started off by saying that this is such a 10th rate film that I don't believe that it would disturb anybody's faith.
Yes, I know you started with an open
faith.
Mind. I realise that.
The man who sounds like the Ronnie Corbett there is the Bishop of Southwark, isn't he?
That's right. And the thing was, you know, these famously were guys from Cambridge who could debate with the best of them. And they came out fighting for the film, in fairness. And their defence, as you say, was this had nothing to do with Christ. Now, I think that's...
But it does satirise the underlying belief of religion, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But their argument was, we're just making a funny movie about mistaken identity, because in case you don't know, it's about this guy who was mistaken for the Messiah, but he's not the Messiah.
He's a naughty boy.
And it was banned in Ireland, but that's, at the time, you know, nothing surprising. I know it's Easter Sunday and we don't want to get too heavy on it maybe, but everything was in essence banned in Ireland in the 60s and 70s. Like when you look back on it, like bizarre movies like The Big Sleep, The Graduate, for instance, right, wasn't banned but was so edited that it didn't make any sense. You had a movie,
The Graduate?
Yeah, because Miss Bancroft was this supposedly older lady. I think she was actually 5 years older than Dustin Hoffman when you look at it. But they edited it to the point that you're not even sure what the relationship was meant to be. I remember our history teacher telling us that in the 50s and 60s, you'd be watching movies in, you know, all those cinemas that used to populate Dublin, and there'd just be a black screen for 30 seconds for no apparent reason, then it would come back.
I've seen The Graduate, and my abiding memory of it is just being very long and very dull. Was there grotty bits?
Oh, come. You don't like The Graduate? Great movie. But anyway, but it was the inference that, you know, this younger man was having an affair with a married woman. This did not go down in 1960s Ireland, you know?
We had a good line in banning religious stuff primarily, though, didn't we? That was always the go-to, was if there's any religious question over it, ban it.
Yeah, but it was, absolutely, but the biggest bugbear for the censor at the time was sex. It really was. And so many of these movies were banned on the basis of sex. When we got into the 90s, it had more to do with violence. And John Kelleher, we're going down a slight rabbit hole here, but he is really credited for, he took over the office, changed the name of it to the certification office as opposed to centre office, and everything changed almost in a foul swoop, to the point that he was on the Late Late Show in 2004 and he had passed a movie called Nine Songs, which actually isn't a great movie. It's a Michael Winterbottom movie, and you would say nowadays it's soft porn with a nice soundtrack, but he said, there's nothing to ban here. Don't go and see it. And in a way, that's a watershed moment. And now we're kind of one of the most permissive places in the world. I don't think we've not given a cert to a movie since, you know, the mid-noughties.
When we look back, though, at some of the ones that we did ban,
yeah,
they do seem very mild by modern eyes. Last yeah. Temptation of Christ didn't make it across the first hurdle originally.
No, and that was a very controversial movie in 1988. William Defoe, or Willem, as we need to be careful to call him. I think he's walked out of interviews for people calling him William.
Well, you would.
Yeah, and the funny thing is he was christened William, but it's just someone called him William somewhere. So anyway, what upset people about that was, this is based on a novel, Martin Scorsese, 1988, made for a shoestring in the desert in America somewhere, but it's Christ imagining a life he might have had. And it involves him picturing sex with Mary Magdalene and stuff like that. So this was hugely controversial for the time, but it's actually a pretty decent movie. And the aforementioned Willem Dafoe is brilliant as Christ in it. He really, really absolutely is. And it's a great movie and bears the test of time when you divorce it from all the stuff that went on with it, you know?
You mentioned out in the desert in the States, the other one that was filmed, I think, there that was banned around the same time. Didn't we ban Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh, we did, absolutely, the Quentin Tarantino one. And in fairness, I mean, I don't think...
Again, that's another why.
Well, and of course it shouldn't be banned. This was 1994, but the violence, in fairness to them, they felt it was too violent. I'm not saying they should have banned it, but if you remember that movie, it is very strange. It's going along in a weird way and then dovetails into this kind of slasher vampire movie, and the violence is very much in your face. Their defense at the time, and I'm not defending them, was copycat violence and stuff like that. I think the ship has very much moved on from that. But that brings us to, you know, the biggest movie when it came to that was A Clockwork Orange, which is from the genius mind, well, firstly of William Burroughs, who wrote the book, and then Stanley Kubrick, the eccentric filmmaker. Perhaps we could play a little flavour of that.
I'm cured! Praise God!
You are not cured yet, boy.
But, sirs, I see that it's wrong! It's wrong because it's slight against society!
No, no, boy. You really must leave it to us. And be cheerful about it. In less than a fortnight now, you will be a free man.
What was it? His interests were Mozart and ultraviolence, wasn't that it?
Yeah, and Mozart plays throughout it. Droogs, Andy McDowell played the leader of this gang, who would go around and do awful, really awful stuff. And then he's captured basically and reprogrammed, and when he pornography was his other huge interest as well, and then he's given injections, and when he watches pornography or violence he gets violently ill and stuff like that. It's a wild trip of a movie. But the interesting thing, although it was banned, in a way the person who most banned it was Kubrick, because he really couldn't handle the backlash. And this was 1971, and if you look at it through the prism of that time, it was pretty in your face violence. We hadn't seen stuff like that, and he got really nerved, I guess, by the suggestion of copycat violence and stuff like that. And for years he attempted to take it off the market. And of course that old thing, what do you not want us to see, it had this whole life on the black market and VHS. And I don't think it really, until his death in 99, that it kind of came back into the public consciousness. It's a ride of a film. It's a very strange movie. It's well worth a watch.
Well, you see, this is what I wanted to check. Is there any possibility that the Irish censor in that period was actually just very sensible and made the correct judgment that this is an awful movie, that it's long, it's boring, and it's self-indulgent, and if I ban it, I'll save a lot of people the hassle? Is there any chance?
I don't think so. That's giving them the benefit of the doubt. I really don't think it's an awful movie.
It's a terrible movie,
it's
John.
It's a bit confused, but there's a lot going on. I think it's worthy
it's
of a rewatch.
It's slow. It is the, you know, the dripping Stanley Kubrick. Oh, God. Like,
is there any Kubrick movies you like?
Oh, there's lots of Kubrick movies. Like 2001 ain't half bad. Yeah. Shining is all right. You could sit through it. But Clockwork Orange is based on a terrible book as well, while we're at it.
I haven't read the book, but yeah, his novels used to leave me cold whenever I read them, you know, a bit wild. But I think it's worthy of a rewatch. I imagine texters will be texting and going, Anton, you're completely wrong, so let's get that train going.
When you're around a lot, you see almost every text begins with, Anton, you're completely wrong. Of the ones then that were banned here or elsewhere, which do you regard as the classics? If I'm saying that Clockwork Orange was banned on reasons of good taste to protect us from it. Which were the ones where we were denied brilliant films by the censor?
Oh, The Big Sleep, for instance. The Graduate, I think, the way they mangled The Life of Brian. Like, you weren't able to legally see that until the late 80s, I think it was. So many of the movies of that period. But it seems like such a distant memory now, the idea that movies could be banned. I guess streamers now also have, you know, it's almost impossible not to see a movie, if you know what I mean.
Although the one thing I wonder with The Life of Brian is that was cancelled because of Conservative Ireland, or censored because of Conservative Ireland at the time. I would suspect you couldn't release that film now because of backlash from the other side. I think there would be a liberal backlash against it for some of the jokes that it makes.
Yeah, quite possibly. It's not very woke, to use the parlance of the day. That's a good point. I never actually thought about that. That would be a weird twist of fate if it would end up being almost banned, you know. And people, you make a good point. People make the argument that certain things are banned now by virtue of the online mob and stuff like that. Can I tell you quickly about Brokeback Mountain?
This that wasn't banned, was it?
Not here, thankfully, but it was banned in China and all sorts of places, because you forget, in 2005, this was the first time, there had been gay-themed movies before, but this was the first time you had Hollywood leads playing gay people, or certainly people who partook in a gay relationship. And it was banned in China and Singapore and all sorts of places, and it remains an amazing film. It's such a powerful love story that has, now it has subsequently, the ban has been lifted in China, thankfully, but a fantastic movie.
It also bears, it's one of those, I don't know if you were watching the, was it last night or the night before? Night before, Trainspotting was on.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and I sat through it again. It's amazing how cheap, I don't mean that pejoratively, but it just looks really cheaply made, because you remember it as almost IMAX quality.
Yeah,
you
see, yeah.
It's sort of handycam stuff when you watch back.
Yeah.
Brokeback Mountain is the opposite. Brokeback Mountain bears re-watching.
Oh, absolutely. And it has, it's another day's discussion, but one of the most heartbreaking final scenes where, do you remember where he goes to see his lover's home house, and his parents let him upstairs, and Heath Ledger sees Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, the jacket.
Yeah, and he's put the shirt inside, and the two shirts are together. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And I always say to young people, you know, that that's a great example of, you know, a gay love story that has nothing almost to do with gender or homosexuality. It's simply a love story. I said that like I'm gay born there. I always say it to young people. But I just mean it's a great example of a movie where the sexuality of it is completely secondary to the actual love story of it.
John, thank you as ever. That is John Fardy, the host of Screen Time.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.